Hello, friend. My name is Reverend Felicia Blanco Searcy, and I am the senior minister at Unity Church of Life in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Unity is a positive, practical, progressive approach to Christianity based on the teachings of Jesus and the power of prayer. Unity honors the universal truths in all religions and respects each individual right to choose a spiritual path. We welcome you to our virtual Sunday celebration and hope you will find it inspiring and enriching. And I just invite us to take this image of our gifts going forth, the universe saying yes, into our time of prayer and meditation. And I'm reading something from St. Francis of Assisi called The Sacraments. I once spoke to my friend, an old squirrel, about the sacraments. He got so excited and ran into a hollow in his tree and came back holding some acorns, an owl feather, and a ribbon he had found. And I just smiled and said, "Yes, dear, you understand. Everything imparts his grace." And I invite you to gently close your eyes if it's comfortable for you and allow yourself to be drawn inward. And in this time of silence, I invite you to touch the sacred, to look deep into the fullness of your heart, and to see the sacred, to touch the divine. Allow this energy, the spirit of the sacred, to emanate from every cell of your being. And in this state of sacred awareness, I invite you to step back and to scan the landscape of your life. And as you have recognized the sacred in you, I invite you to recognize the sacred in every individual in your life. See how they too were created from the divine substance of spirit. Feel the reverence this recognition creates. And now I invite you to look around to the physical world. The plants, the trees, the animals, the rocks, the air, the rain. And see too how all of this was created from the same source that you were. Recognize the sacred nature of everything that surrounds you. Breathe deeply into the reality that you were not placed on the earth. You were formed from the earth. See how you are an integral part of the tapestry of life. And breathe into the awe and the wonder and the deep sense of responsibility.
Become aware of your daily decisions, your actions reverberate out from you. You can either contribute to life or deplete life. Feel yourself come alive when you see yourself making those decisions and taking those actions that contribute to the sustainability of everyone around you, all life around you, all creation around you. See how you are the way creation wants to experience itself. And how this spirit of reverence grows. It radiates from you across the face of the planet. I am one with all creation. I hold creation gently in my hand. I hold creation gently in my heart, dedicated to ensuring that life will continue. I am one with all of creation. So invite us for a few moments in the silence, pondering and reflecting on that reality into the silence. I am one with all of creation. I open my heart to every physical manifestation of spirit. I become the conduit through which love and life flows freely, knowing that as I dedicate all that I am, all that I have, to enriching the lives, enriching the experience on this planet, I know that I am fully loved and fully supported as well. What is healthy for me is healthy for others. What is healthy for others is healthy for me. I am one with all of creation. So we begin our journey back, refreshed, renewed, ready to be the living example of this sacred communion that we have experienced in this time and space. Thank you, God. So it is. Amen. Good morning, everybody. This morning we continue our series on our five values with our fourth value, which is the value of stewardship. That sounds like a really fancy word that's really being thrown around a lot these days, to be good stewards. I know when Susan Beck came 2.5 years ago to help us discover who we came here to be and what it was that we wanted to stand for, that was a word that she used a lot, and we really resonated with it. But we didn't have the foggiest idea what it meant. We thought we knew what it meant. We thought we had an idea about it. But we had lots of conversation about what did it really mean to be good stewards, to have the value of stewardship. And it's one of those, like all of them, that we will endeavor to grow in our understanding. And so today, what I'm hoping is that we'll walk away with a little better understanding of what it means to value stewardship, to be good stewards. When I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, a steward was someone who served, who didn't own anything, but managed and took care of the property and the possessions of the lords, the royalty, the hierarchy. You know, this was back in medieval England, and originally stewards served meals. So their job, their commission was to serve those around them and take care of possessions. And so when we translate that to today and we expand that, then we look at, if we're calling ourselves stewards, then we have to ask the question, do we really own anything? Or do we have what we have in order to assist us in contributing to the well-being of others, which includes ourselves as well? This isn't being completely self-abasive and sacrificing. In order to really get that, we'll take a complete paradigm shift. Because I think we can kind of intellectually play around with it, but to really get that we really don't own anything invites us to go to the level of surrender we didn't know we wanted to go to, and we didn't know that we were capable of going to. One of the gifts that I've gotten as I've journeyed this walk with my dad was the opportunity to step back and evaluate what's really important. There's nothing like going through a house where somebody lived for 33 years and had a family and a life, and having to reduce it down to a two-bedroom apartment to identify what's really important. And then watching him as he intellectually continues to deteriorate and lose memories and lose interactions, to constantly call to mind the question, what's really important, and how am I using that which I have in my life now? The shift that has to happen is that we have to change the way we view ourselves as being dominion over the planet, that the planet has resources for us, that life is here for us, to seeing ourselves as one of, seeing ourselves as intricately connected and interwoven throughout all of life, and that what we do has implications that radiate in ways that we can't even begin to see. I want to read from Michael Dowd, Thank God for Evolution, how the marriage of science and religion will transform your life and our world. He's talking about how we are a part of the universe. A Native American elder, Black Elk, said this: the first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of men and women when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers. He goes on, you see, we didn't come into this world, we grew out from it. Black Elk knew this, at least intuitively. We humans are not separate creatures on Earth in a universe. We are a mode of being of Earth, an expression of the universe. I don't know about you, but I've always had this image that the world was created for me, that the world was created for humankind, that it's here for us to conquer, it's here for us to tame. You know, you hear the term taming Mother Nature, that the resources, even the word resource, suggests that all of this was created in order to sustain us. That we view the world from our perspective. I mean, when you look at the first story in Genesis, the way that the story of creation, that the world was created in stages, and then God created humankind to have dominion, which we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but that the world was created in order to sustain our life. Well, I have a flash for you. This world will go on just fine without us. That we are, number one, we're the only self-conscious species. We're the only species that I am aware of that accumulates more than what we need, and we're the only species that has the power to destroy ourselves. And so when we shift the way we identify ourselves, we begin to step back from that perspective, and we begin to see how we are an integral part of it. And that because we are self-conscious, we have a level of responsibility to ensure that our actions are not depleting but contributing. Now that's on a global scale. And our vision here at Unity is a world of peace, unity, and abundance for all. And we have to look at, what do we mean by that word all? Are we just talking other human beings, or are we talking all of creation? And then we have to look at, how is it that we really can further that vision? So we look at it globally, and then we pull it in individually. So when we dedicate ourselves to being good stewards, we recognize that we have the power to impact. And we start becoming mindful of our decisions. I want you to really think about, if we really got that we were created from the earth, just like the rabbits that are running around in our backyard, just like the clouds that we fly through, just like the rain, we're all created from the same substance, generated from the same mind, from the same single idea of creation. How does that shift things for you, or does it? How does it make it different, how you, your relationship with God's creation? It shaves down our ego a little bit and allows us to see that we're not the center. Yet we have dominion. We have the power to enhance, to cultivate, to nourish, to expand, or to destroy. As good stewards, we in the church begin to ask the question, how do my daily decisions impact the whole? How many of you all saw the documentary Black Sunday? It's the story of the Dust Bowl back in the 30s. That at the turn of this last century, through the teens and through the 20s, farmers were encouraged to go out to the Great Plains and plow under the grass that had been there for centuries. It was a type of grass that was suited for that environment and thrived in the harsh conditions of the Great Plains. It survived the long periods of drought, and it kept the earth in place. Well, what we saw at that time were just huge expanses of land that was not being used. And so in our infinite wisdom, we encouraged people to go out and plow under and plant wheat, which is a very fragile crop. And it just so happened that we had a couple of decades of unusually high rain, and so the wheat crop flourished, which meant that they plowed under even more of this sustainable grass and destroyed even more of the plains. So what happened? The rain stopped, the wheat died, and there was nothing holding that earth in place. So when the winds picked up the soil, and it started heading east. It picked up so much soil and blew it so far that people on Wall Street in New York were having to change their shirts 3 or 4 times a day because the farmer in Nebraska or in the eastern part of Colorado or Oklahoma or Texas did not have the ability to keep earth in place anymore. That's how we affect each other. And now the world is even smaller. Lynn Twist in her book Soul of Money talks about this. She is a social activist. We had the opportunity to see her last year at the International Conference. She worked diligently for years with the World Hunger Project. And then she found herself called to assist an indigenous tribe in the rainforest of Ecuador who put a call out for help on how to maintain their lifestyle because they saw what happened to other indigenous tribes where they were being encroached upon by Western culture. And she sat with them and she asked what they could do to help. And what they said to Lynn was that unless you change the dream, unless you shift the way you think, it won't matter what we learn or what we put in place. Our civilization, our tribe, our society will be destroyed. That we live the dream of accumulation. Now, this is not a lecture or a moral judgment. It's simply an awakening for us to look at what are our patterns of behavior, how are they affecting the whole, and here's the bottom line question. Are they giving us what it is that we really desire? Do we have satisfaction? Do we gain happiness when we accumulate? Or does happiness come from sharing that which we have with something that we believe deeply in? And so Lynn has made it her life to invite us as a culture to shift our dream and to shift the way we see our material goods, to shift the way we see our world, to shift the way that we engage with life, and to begin to deeply question what is it that I really want and what will bring me that which I really want. And here's the answer. If what you're engaged in contributes to the sustainability of your relationships, if it contributes to the sustainability of your world, if it contributes to the sustainability of our planet, then you are spirit directed. We are living as good stewards. If the way we're pursuing what we want depletes and destroys and breaks down, then we're just simply out of alignment. And the invitation for us is to look at how can I move back into alignment that will allow me to share who and what I am in a way that will continue to contribute to sustainable life, not just my own, but everybody else around me. We start with our gifts. There's so many layers to this. There's just so many layers to stewardship. You know, a lot of people ask specifically, what can I do, what can I do, what can I do? And Lynn talks about, first of all, discover what is your passion, what are your gifts? When we discover what our passion is, and then we discover what it is that we believe in, what is it that we value the most, and we form a relationship between sharing that which we value the most with what we believe in, we then become good stewards of that which we were divinely given, and we use them in a way that help continue the sustainability of all of life on the planet. Money, that's a biggie. We become good stewards of our money when we use it in a way to contribute to the sustainability. When we contribute to that which we believe in and we want to see expanded. You know, what we attempt to do here is that we attempt to help people discover what your gifts are, help you discover that which brings your heart alive, and help discover what you believe in. What is it that you value the most? And then bring those two together. Jesus said, do not store up treasures on earth where moths and rust can consume them, but store them in heaven. Store them in a state of awareness that will bring you true satisfaction. Because the reality is chasing after something to fill the hole, whatever it is, doesn't work. It's not that it's bad or sinful. It just doesn't work. That gets broken, and then we're off chasing something else, trying to fulfill us, trying to fill that sense of emptiness. And so when we value stewardship, when we become good stewards, we recognize that true fulfillment, true happiness comes from discovering what we were given and then sharing that in a way to help contribute to everybody's well-being. Bringing the two together, matching them up. And it's going to be one of those things that we'll continue to delve into and explore as we go on even further. Let me read from Lynn. She quotes Buckminster Fuller, "Everyone has the perfect gift to give the world. If each of us is freed up to give the gift that is uniquely ours to give, the world will be in total harmony. As the indigenous people say in their prophecy of global collaboration for survival, we need to remember each other, reunite, be in relationship, share our gifts, and the world will come naturally into balance." One of the things that we're doing in Unity is that we're really stepping out just from our small little cocoon, and we're really looking at how can we step onto the world stage. One of the ways is to become leaders in looking at how to create sustainable lifestyles, how to adopt sustainable lifestyles in all areas of our life. And then she goes on, "When we have the courage to let go of the dream we have now, the dream and the drive and the trance to accumulate more, then we have the space to envision and create a new dream, a dream that sees us engaged in respecting, preserving, honoring what we have. In that space of nourishment, in that vision of a new relationship with life, natural harmony and creativity abound." That's the gift that comes as a result of it, is our capacity to really be present for one another, our capacity to be present right now. We become good stewards of our time, our capacity to share and grow into the people that we were created to be, and our capacity for happiness. Because we're not chasing some fleeting something that we can't quite get our hands on, but we really get how happiness is present here and now. So here's your homework for this week. I want you to really spend time pondering the concept, the idea that we were not placed on the earth, but that we came from the earth. And that when you find yourself making decisions during the week, bring that to mind and see if it changes how you do things, if it will change your decision. Ask yourself, will this decision contribute to life, or does this decision take away from life? And then I invite you to look at, what is it that you were blessed with? What gift, what time, what energy were you given to be a steward of, and how are you being asked to share it in a way that will contribute to the well-being of someone else? Find something you believe in, whether it's here, whether it's another organization, I don't care where it is or what it is. Find something you believe in and share it in a way that makes a difference. Share what you have in a way that makes a difference. Be a steward of that which you have in your possession by using it to help contribute to somebody else's life. And watch how your life becomes enriched. It's one of those paradoxes. The more we give something away, the more we open up and receive. I am one with all of creation together. I am one with all of creation. We can't take ourselves out of the mix, guys. It's just fact. Whatever we do has impact. So together, let's choose impact that will reverberate and send out waves of life. Got your marching orders, and so it is. Thank you, God. And we'd like to close with our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. And the presence of God watches over you. And remember, wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Thank you for joining us. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at www.unitychurchoflife.com. If you would like more information about Unity in general, you can visit the Unity Worldwide website at www.unity.org.